Whether you are a seasoned project manager or just starting your journey out in this thing called project management, this episode is packed with actionable insights and game-changing skills that will set you apart for your competition. That's why you're here, right? I mean, right? Hey family, today's episode, we're gonna really unpack some things, and if you don't mind, I'd love to share a story with you about what we're going to be discussing today. And a lot of times when you step into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, you start obtaining some of these milestones, or these, I'll call them awards per se, meaning that you get that promotion at the job. You go from a project coordinator to a project manager. You may go from a project manager to a senior project manager, etc. You get your PMP, you receive your CAPM, you get your very first project to lead from beginning to end. What am I saying here? What I'm saying here, family, is that if you're like me, and I know you're like me because you're here today and you're exceptional, and with you being exceptional, you're asking that question in the back of your mind, like, what's next? Meaning, how can I continue to keep this skill set that I've learned? You know, I don't know about you, family, but when I was studying for the PMP, even the CAPM, I was in some very intense study sessions to learn the material. And then after the material, after I put the book down, I was like, okay, probably don't need to pick that up for a minute. And I realized that that is not the case. So family, today I'm going to challenge you. Matter of fact, I'm going to implore upon you that you start working on your project management skill set so you don't fall into that category of what we call paper PMPs or paper CAPMs. So let's have some fun today. Let's get into my first point. Point number one, agile mindset. Listen, family, one of the things that I'm seeing in this industry, even PMI has definitely recognized it, because now they have a certification called PMI ACP, is we need to become very well versed in agile mindsets and leveraging frameworks like a Scrum, or leveraging a Kanban or Lean. Listen, family, organizations are looking to get projects done faster, especially when they don't have a lot of requirements and don't know kind of what they want to do. They want to experiment a lot more, tests, because when you run a predictive, that is more of like a waterfall approach, or that is like the standard approach in project management, you may get down all the way to the end to realize, like, you know, I don't know if I really want this project. So reason why I'm recommending, family, if you want to up your game and your skill set, or even improve your skill set, which you should be wanting to do anyway, is look at things around agile, or investing in attending agile workshops, conferences, and webinars. Listen, family, you know me. If you don't, if you're new to this episode, you're going to learn about ED. One thing about ED, I don't just tell you something because it sounds good. I don't do this just to try to impress upon you that, oh, look at me. No. I actually live what I talk. I told you I came to disrupt this thing that they call project management, and I truly mean that. And the reason why I'm looking to disrupt it is because you'll have project managers out here that'll say, hey, you should be taking this course, or you should be doing this, and they're not even doing it themselves. But I have actual proof. So on Saturday, July 13th, my mentor, my friend, my buddy, him and Roy, another great mind, will be hosting a practical agile simulation. This is basically meaning where you're going to be able to get hands-on with agile. And listen, they're only doing it for $100 for 4 hours. If you knew how much, if you were to be with one of them one-on-one, their hourly rate, I believe they should double what they're getting paid hourly. But the point I'm trying to make is, family, you want to be able to join there so you can learn. I'll drop the link somewhere so you can access it if you're interested. Again, only $100. You've spent $100 on food over 4 months. Won't you now feed your mind? Okay, I won't do any more plugs on that until maybe tomorrow, because I really believe, listen, family, I'm bringing you the best of the best. I don't want to bring anyone in here that is not going to help you grow, that's not going to help you develop that mindset that you need to develop in this thing called project management. So let's move on to point number two. Point number two, cross-cultural competency. Listen, we are in a diverse world. Excuse me, we are in a global economy. What does that mean, ED? That means that you will be working with people all across the world. And so you have to understand, how do I navigate these different cultural dynamics? A lot of people don't talk about this, but you need to understand this because it's important to you, because if you're working with a different culture, you have to understand, what are the cultural norms? What are some of the misnomers or things that I know I shouldn't say maybe if I was in the States? So it's important to learn about the different cultures and the representatives on your team. If you don't do this, this is one of those things where you find you, as they say, council culture. But no, seriously though, family, having the ability to develop your cross-cultural competency is going to be huge in your career in project management. Let's move on to point number three. I'm seeing a lot more of this, and it's funny that as little kids, when we were growing up, I don't know about you, but I love playing video games, still do. And shout out to all my NBA 2K players out there. But seriously though, family, point number three is gamification for engagement. Listen, in any game, especially if you're like being very competitive, like I don't care if we're playing Uno, Monopoly, I want to win at all costs, of course, ethically. But I'm saying at all costs because I just love that competitive juice that happens. And so I started seeing this gamification happening more, especially I seen it. What really resonated with me was when about school is a community where people can build communities on school, which is a platform, and they really made it more of a gamification type approach. So how could you take that and translate it into your projects? And it's simple, family. You could do this by integrating game elements like points, leaderboards, and rewards for the work progress. I know when I was first coming up in this thing called project management, boy, I used to enjoy when we used to be able to do certain things for the team. But now it's kind of been, it's not like how it used to, but you still can do, you can find creative ways to really encourage your team, especially if you're leading a very challenging project. Let's move on to point number four. Point number four, AI or artificial intelligence and ML, what we call machine learning. Listen, family, if you are a project manager, project coordinator, matter of fact, if you're just thinking about even getting in project management, you need to start learning AI. Why, ED? Why is AI? Everybody talking about this AI. Listen, AI is one of those things that's not going anywhere anytime soon. And because it's not going on anywhere, all I'm saying to you, family, is understand, or I should say acquire, just the basic understanding of what AI, artificial intelligence, and what ML is, machine learning language. Basically, they're just the concepts, just in case if you have to use it, because I am starting to see project management software starting to infuse some AI type things, where before, you know, you may have to manually build your schedule out, and then you can automate the task and things of that nature. AI is assisting with that. So you want to start understanding the components behind AI. Start attending workshops or online courses where they can inform you about AI. I get newsletters. I signed up for newsletters. I've attended workshops. I'm anytime I can get my hands on any AI training, I want to learn it, because I want to be prepared for the shift. I don't want to get caught off guard. Project management is always going to need people, but some of the mundane tasks that we do, like scheduling, like putting together a communication management plan, hey, just putting together a project management plan, it may get to a point where this becomes more automated, where you feed AI your prompt, and boom, it automatically populates a project management plan for you with all the subsidiary plans included. So start looking at that, family, so you can be on the cutting edge with everyone else. Let's move on to point number five. This is one that I've been working on for years, and probably will continue to work on it until the day I give up in doing this thing called project management, or just communicating in general, is storytelling and presentations. It's important, family, nowadays. I'm reading this book, and I can't, again, name of the book. I'm just going to start writing them down, so when I recommend a book. But I've been reading a lot of books around storytelling. In this particular book that I was reading, it really captured my mind, because it talked about, they gave in a scenario where they gave you a whole bunch of data points, and then they asked the audience, hey, can someone tell me all the data points that I gave? And no one could could relay it back. But when they placed it in a story with those same data points, but put it in a story form, there wasn't anybody in the audience hardly that didn't miss it because they were able to relate. So especially when you're giving presentations or you are to engage your stakeholders, being able to find stories that are relatable to the situation. One of the stories that I always used to share was with my daughter was young and she had a problem of touching the stove. I don't know why, family, but it was just, and one day I turned my back to get some, because I put some water in the pot and I was getting ready to put it back on the stove, and she touched it and all I heard was a big, ah! And I'm like, oh, Jesus, what happened? Come take the wheel. Like, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what happened. And I look over at her and I was like, you touched the stove, didn't you? She's like, yes, daddy. And that lesson taught her ever since then, she had never touched the stove again when she was little. And the point of it being is that sometimes, I use that story to share with you, is that sometimes you can tell somebody something and they not grasp it. They actually got to go through the experience. So I always tell that story because it really helps people to understand that, hey, listen, I can sit here talking until I'm blue in the face about, hey, you shouldn't do this. This is the way we should go with this project. But at the end of the day, you're the subject matter expert. If you really truly feel this is the way we're going to go, all right, let's go. But I'm telling you, I'm going to be working on plan B because I know this is not going to work. So having the ability to improve, the ability to really work on your presentation style, your skills, because you're constantly presenting to C-suite, to directors, to even just your project team. I talk about it here in the Magnetic Project Manager book behind me, because it's one of the biggest key things that I continue to work on. And this is a journey. I'm not looking for a destination to be a master at presentation or a master storyteller. My goal is enjoying the journey, and I'm having a great time during the journey. Let's move on to point number 6. Remote team management. Listen, you know, when in 2020, when we had that occurrence, I'm not going to say what the occurrence is, but you guys know, basically when everything was shut down, having the ability to be able to lead a remote team is going to be huge. And I also think that as I was sharing with you earlier about us being more global, I'm seeing a lot more global project managers working on projects in the States. You're going to want to have the ability to figure out what are best practices for managing and leading and collaborating with teams that are geographically dispersed all over the world. How do you follow up with somebody to ensure that they're doing what they said they were going to do? Some of the tools that I've used along in my journey is basically using tools like Zoom, Slack, Asana, Microsoft Teams, to really ensure that we can keep up that communication. Because anybody knows that when communication fails, this is when projects start really failing, because nobody knows what the other teams are doing or individuals are doing, because now we go into assumption mode. Let's move on to point number 7. Negotiate and conflict resolution. When you fall in love with this thing, or even think about getting into project management, you will have an opportunity to experience some conflict. Matter of fact, if you don't experience any conflict on your project, just wait, it's coming. You know, one of the things, I remember the first time I experienced conflict in my project, I was shocked. I was like, hey, what is this about? And the stakeholder was very aggressive, and I had to learn, like, hey, let's take this offline and have a further deep dive conversation, because maybe I missed something during this meeting that made you react that way. And of course, I didn't have the backstory. And what it was is there was a previous project manager before me, because I was taking over the actual project. And this stakeholder was frustrated. It was like, how many project managers are you guys going to keep bringing in? We'll run it ourselves and do it ourselves. So once I understood the why, it helped me help this stakeholder understand, hey, I'm here to support you. If they do make that decision, I'm going to make sure you're set up for success, of making sure we have all the artifacts in place, meaning like our communication management plan, our stakeholder register, all these artifacts, so you can have success. So if somebody else comes in, they won't have to do what I had to experience. They will have a better chance of leading you guys. So You're going to want to enhance your conflict resolution and also your negotiation skills. One of my favorite books, and I did remember this one, is Never Split the Difference. This book is an amazing read to me. Matter of fact, I try to read it once a year because of the fact of how it's important. Basically, the book is about having the ability to negotiate. I think every project manager needs to read this book. And you know what I may do, family? Some of the books I keep sharing and talk about, maybe we just do a whole book club on the books that I'm recommending, and I'll leave it up to you to check out. But these are some of the books that has helped me in my journey. Whenever I was up against a challenge, I would refer to certain books and or whatnot. All right. One of the actionable steps I want to recommend to you, family, is practice active listening and having empathy and learning when to leverage your assertive. You need to know when to be assertive and when you need to be passive. And that is something that you can learn and watch, but it's something you're going to have to understand. And you know, my favorite words is know your audience. And that's when you're going to have to know your audience to make that particular decision. Let's move on to point number 8. Emotional resilience and stress management. I've shared this before with you. I even have a whole episode dedicated to is project management stressful? I'm going to tell you, there are moments that it does get very stressful, is because you're trying to meet deadlines. You're tight with your budget. You're trying to keep your scope together. Matter of fact, you're just trying to keep the stakeholders constantly engaged in this project that may have been going on for 8 to 12 months. And they're just like, man, I wish we could be done already. So one of the things I always recommend is practicing mindfulness, meditation, finding stress management ways to really just alleviate some of that stress. It's going to be there, but how do you use that stress to your advantage? And then, of course, just having the emotional resilience to know when someone is attacking you, you have to make a decision. Are they attacking the work? Or are they attacking me personally? If they're attacking me personally, then I need to have a conversation with them before this blows out of proportion. But if they're attacking the work, yeah, they're entitled to challenge and attack the work. We just need to figure out a resolution that we all can be happy with. My bonus for you today, family, is servant leadership. Listen, having the ability to embrace servant principles of servant leadership to empower and support your project team is going to be key. Listen, when you are a servant leader, you're focusing on removing problems, providing resources, and basically more or less of creating an environment that really truly enables team success. You know, one of the things that, and I'm practicing servant leadership right now, I am leading by example. I'm demonstrating the ability to have humility and say, hey, I'm a lifelong learner like you guys. I just happen to have some experiences that I want to share with the family. And you guys share experiences with me that I've even made made episodes on around some of the experiences that you've shared with me, if you know it or not. So anyway, let me go through my 3-point closing remarks. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. First closing remark is agile mindset. As I share with you, my friend, my mentor, my actual coach for project management is having an actual agile opportunity for you to join on July 13th, which is a Saturday. It's a 4-hour event. I'll actually put that somewhere where you can make a decision if you want to buy in or not. But again, this is a conference that is going to be worth it. Let's look at number 2. Negotiating conflict resolution, like I shared with you before, having the ability to enhance your negotiation skills will be key. I think there's some free material out there, but one of my favorite books around negotiation so far, and I haven't read every book on negotiation, but this is the one that arrested my attention, was Never Split the Difference. So go Google that book and see if that's something that aligns with you. And my last and final point is storytelling and presentation skills. As a project manager, you're always presenting something, whether you're presenting a stakeholder to make a decision to join your team or leave your team, you're presenting where you're at in the project or what, and when you have impediments that you need leadership or executives to join in, how can you articulate with the proposed solutions that you've already done and to get their buy-in to really for them to give you resources. So family, I really truly hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. Until next time, you guys know my motto, my slogan. If you don't, it's easy. Until next time.